The scripture this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Judd?
Thank you, Francis. The message I would like to share to you today is, within that message, I would like to share a little ancient liturgy of the church, and it goes like this. It's called the passing of the peace. And I say, "The peace of Christ be with you," and you say, and also with you. So if you get that cue during the message, you might remember that and follow along with that part that you would say. First part of the message I would like to talk about, and that's the peace of Christ, that abounds in our minds. This past Easter Sunday evening, I found myself pretty tired and exhausted, and yet I was satisfied and at peace. And I think many of us have felt that way before at times in our lives, and we shared a great morning of worship together here in this building, in this sanctuary, and there were some people here that I hadn't seen for a little while, and I was excited to see them. And then after our service here at church, Chris and I enjoyed a late afternoon meal with our family and our three daughters and two of them with their spouses and, of course, our little granddaughter and some Easter eggs and that kind of thing, you know. And she wears you out, and especially Chris. It was nearly dark before everyone had left, and we were exhausted, yet we were satisfied and at peace. And then we go inversely to this scripture that we look at today, and we see a little bit different story in the 20th chapter of John here, don't we? We see a different scene, because disciples come to their first Easter evening, and they're afraid, and they're anxious, and they're locked in this room in the dark and huddled there with one another, not knowing exactly what to make of what had happened earlier in the day. And then probably, if we look at the Gospel of Luke and his account, there were a couple of travelers that had gone to Emmaus, and they rushed back to the group in the midst of all this and said, "We just met the risen Christ on the road to Emmaus. We didn't even know it until we broke bread with him, and then we knew that it was Jesus." And of course, Luke goes on to explain that Jesus then comes and makes himself known to the people that are in the room, even though the doors are closed and locked. But I would like to focus mainly this today on these words that are Jesus' words to the disciples. That is, "Peace be with you." And also, how he breathed the Holy Spirit upon those 11 disciples that were there. Of course, we can look at Acts 2 and see how the breath of the Holy Spirit was breathed upon the entire congregation. Thousands of people that were there in that group, and how they all spoke in their native tongues. It's been said that the mind has a world of its own, and in itself it can make a hell of heaven and it can make a heaven of hell. Books promising peace of mind are some of the best-selling books on the market today, and sometimes we live in a world of fear, it seems like. Fear haunts us in the night. Fear stalks us in the day. It seems like our society has become a society of fear, and we're terrified of violence, especially in the bigger cities, and we're afraid of strangers almost, and we're worried about the future and uncertain about the economy and if the next pandemic is going to come. And so we know what it is to be afraid. We also know that the best way to conquer our fears, even though we don't always do it, is by facing our fears. Just as you prevent an accident by steering into the slide, so you overcome fears by tackling them head on. Oh, that today, this very moment, the risen Christ would break through our walls of isolation and speak a word of peace. Fear imprisons and faith liberates. Fear paralyzes and faith empowers. Fear disheartens and faith encourages. Fear sickens and faith heals. May the peace of Christ be with you. So next I would like to talk about the peace of Christ that abounds in our hearts. And Jesus said again to them, "Peace be with you." And I'm sure I would have addressed the disciples if it had been me, maybe just a little bit differently. No matter who you are or what you've done, I perhaps would have said, "What happened? Where were you? See, Peter, I told you you were going to mess up. You were going to deny me 3 times. But Jesus didn't come to accuse, did he? He came to invite. No matter who you are or what you've done or whoever you've betrayed or let down or how far we have roamed from our true home, peace be with you. Those are comforting words. Garrison Keillor, radio personality and creator of the fictional town Lake Wobegon, if some of you are familiar with that fictional town in Minnesota. He once quoted this: "We always have a backstage view of ourselves. We let the audience see only the neatly arranged stage, but behind the curtain are all kinds of things laying around, old failures, old hurts, old guilt, and old shame. And into this world of pain, Jesus comes offering forgiveness. Forgiveness is God's remedy to a past that even he cannot change. Forgiveness is the oil that lubricates the human machine, and without it, all of life becomes overheated and squeaky. Forgiveness is a gift whose sole purpose is to be shared with others. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Those were Jesus' words. This is the give and take of forgiveness. Forgiveness begins a chain reaction. We pray, "Forgive us our debtors as we forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." It's what makes the world go around, and that's why we need to pray it often. It has been said, if only there were completely evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were only necessary to separate them from the rest of us good people and destroy them. But the problem being, the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of each of us. Therefore, who is willing to destroy a piece of their own heart? John 20:22 says, "And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit can form a sentinel around our hearts, guarding each of them. Hearts can be broken and betrayed and abandoned and hurt. Yet the Holy Spirit can heal the wounds of our souls and make us whole. Charles Allen, longtime pastor of the First Methodist Church of Houston, a generation ago, once offered this top 10 list for finding peace in the valley. Here's that list. Worry is a habit. Break it. When upset, think more, say less. Put on a cheerful countenance. Go ahead and cry. Always believe peace is better than war. Analyze your problems. Accept God's forgiveness. Practice forgetting. Make promises sparingly. Keep an open mind. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And finally, may the peace of Christ reign in our world. The tragedy of the church is that we have turned our peacemaking duties over to the government. When it comes to peace, it seems that there are only two kinds, and that is Democrats and Republicans. But few of us are Christian. We've given over our Christian identity and replaced it with a national identity, reducing peacekeeping to a political debate. Our society tends to take our gospel from the news media, not the scripture. So we find ourselves in a threatening world in a severely divided country. And maybe it's time for Christians to find some higher ground. Christians number about 2.2 billion people in the world. In places like Africa and Korea and parts of South America, their church is experiencing unprecedented growth. Who are these people called Christians, and what are we about? We are a global people of God who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We believe that God has chosen the church to act in the world. Therefore, we are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ from every tribe and tongue and nation of the world. Christians are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, which was established on earth through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and over which he shall reign forever and ever. The core ethic of our faith is love. Love for God, love for one another, love for all God's children, including love for our enemies. This love is expressed in the world through acts of peace and justice and deeds of service and ministry to the least of these, including the least of these in Hutchinson, Kansas. In the Lord's Prayer that we said today, we pray for God's kingdom to come on earth and pledge ourselves to work toward this goal. What would happen if we who call ourselves Christian became what we call ourselves in all the areas of our lives? The German theologian Wolfhart Pannenberg once said, "The evidence of Jesus' resurrection is so strong that nobody would question it except for two things. First, the resurrection is a very unusual event. And second, if you believed it happened, you are obliged to change the way you live." May the peace of Christ be with you. Amen.